If anyone's actually listening to this, they're going to be like, why do you guys talk about exactly the same thing every time?
That way we don't have to record new episodes until somebody is listening.
That's true.
We could just propagate the same episode over and over again until somebody says, fuck. There's something wrong with your thing. You're listening. Yes, thank God.
Seriously. Just put it on infinite loop.
Hi, welcome to episode 14 of the STR Gamer Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Sam.
And we're here to fill your...
yeah, finish that sentence.
Fill your ear holes with blather.
Just stop. We're here to fill your ear holes.
That's not what I said. I started to say that, but then I thought fill your ear holes would be better. Neither one of them is good.
I'm here to help.
Yeah. Started off... And so I can finish my candy bar. Why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
I'll be happy to. Let's see. Last week we talked about The Witcher. And now I'm playing a ton of it. And we also talked about that the week before. The game is long. I'm in like 52 or 53 hours into that game. And I've just hit chapter 5 of 5. And then there's like an epilogue. So played a bunch of that last week. I played more Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I was telling you last night about this thing I was doing in Assassin's Creed. I was basically just hanging on a ledge behind a Borgia captain. So the way that the Brotherhood set up is that there are these Borgia towers that have an influence over significant areas of Rome, and you have to like go up to the towers and first take out the Borgia captain, and then once you take them out, you can go up to the actual tower and then set it aflame, and then you basically recover the city and you can buy your smithy or bank or whatever and increase your influence in that area.
So do you have to you have to take out the Borgia tower before you can buy the...
Yeah, and you have to take out the Borgia captain first, right, before you can take out the... So,
and then do you do like a full-on eagle's dive off the burning tower?
Pretty much.
Every time?
Every time.
Nice. Let it not be said that Assassin's Creed doesn't identify the cool moments and then run them into the ground because you do them so often.
I mean, they just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they tend to keep being cool.
Yeah, no, totally. It's always cool to sort of, you know, do a swan dive off the top of a thing and do a conveniently placed, you know, strand of hay somewhere. Yeah. It's funny, and when I was playing Assassin's Creed 2, you know, I'd just be running around, you know, and you know, there are pigeons on the corners of ledges to show you where there's hay nearby, mm-hmm. and so sometimes I'd just be running towards it, you know, running somewhere, anywhere, and I'd just be like, oh, fuck it, and I'd just run towards that thing and just push the jump button. I don't know where the hay is, I don't know where it's going to take me, and my guy just sort of, sometimes he does like a full-on 90-degree shift and then jumps in a completely different direction with all my momentum intact. And it was just like, crazy, I'm a crazy acrobat. And then I land and just kind of sit in there and wait for somebody to walk by. And then I'd leap out of the hay and grab them and pull them into the hay.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, but I feel like for every 5 times that works, there's like another time where you'll be deliberately running towards something to jump off, and then he'll just like jump off the building.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And like
yeah.
hit the ground and lose like 3 life or whatever.
Yeah. I see.
So I'm hanging on this ledge waiting for this Borgia captain to go through. He's just doing a little patrol around a small area of the grounds.
What would we do without regular guard routines?
Seriously. Seriously, patrols, pats. He's surrounded by guys, so I'm just like waiting there to assassinate him, and he's on a horse.
On a horse in the tower?
No, around the tower. It's like this whole restricted area around the tower.
Okay.
And so I've snuck my way over there. I'm just hanging on this ledge. And so he comes around, and I can't get him from where I'm hanging, so I have to jump up on the ledge. I jump up on the ledge, and I hit X to assassinate. He jumps on the horse with the guy, takes him out, and he's already on the horse running. And so I take off while everyone else is, like, coming after me. You know, weave my way through the little township that I'm in, and, like, hide in and I jump up on a building. And out of nowhere, I guess there was a guard like up on the building, and he's like starts yelling at me, take him out and jump into the curtain or something, or I think my infamy or whatever it's called was turned off by that
player. Right.
It was so righteous.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool. So I've been playing that. I'm playing a bunch of PSP games. a little bit more luminous, just hard. I think I'm doing it wrong.
Yes.
Started playing Dungeon Siege for the PSP.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty fair, I would say. Like, it's a relatively good game. Like, lots of deep systems for a portable game, which is cool. Definitely has the Dungeon Siege feel to it. And
by what you mean, it has a Diablo feel to it?
Yeah, but it's, you know, there's sort of a, for lack of a better term, there's kind of a janky feel to Dungeon Siege. Like, it's not as polished as Diablo.
Right.
You know, and definitely the art is, like, much more angular, less rounded edges and stuff. It's kind of got that going for it. I think Gas Powered Games actually worked on the game.
For the PSP?
For the PSP.
Did that come out around the time of Dungeon Siege 2, or...?
It must have. Yeah. It looks like it could have been a similar engine.
Yeah.
Although I don't think it looks quite as good as Dungeon Siege 2, but it's comparable. But it's pretty fun. It's definitely kind of scratching the Dungeon Siege itch now that Dungeon Siege 3 hasn't really done that.
It didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And Torchlight 2 hasn't been released, and Diablo 3 hasn't been released. So
yeah, I mean, who really knows, but... Hopefully Torchlight 2 before... Torchlight 2 before Diablo 3. But
oh.
They have to.
Yeah, pretty much.
They have to.
As we said before, they're toasted. That doesn't come out before.
Yeah. And also Sid Meier's Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
PSP. Yeah.
That game was awesome.
I love it, and I have no idea what I'm doing in it. I think I tweeted...
Part of the reason that it's awesome.
Yeah, I tweeted the other day. I was like, I actually looked at the instruction manual for the first time in a long time, and I was like, I am no closer to knowing how this game works. But yeah, it's really fun. I can't believe I haven't played it before, but, you know.
When would you have had the opportunity? I mean...
I don't know.
You're like 5 years old. You wouldn't have played the original.
I am like 3 years younger than you are.
You're 5 years younger than me.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Really?
Yeah.
I am 5 years younger than you.
Yeah. You're the same age as my sister. That's how I remember how old you are.
Huh.
And how old she is.
You remember your sister's age because of my age?
Pretty much. I just remember you're both 5 years younger than me.
Fair enough.
So,
Pirates and playing more Vanguard.
Oh, yeah.
We've been talking a lot about that.
Yeah, I've downloaded that. I'm not having the same sort of... I'm not willing to give it as much credit as you are, so...
Yeah.
I'm definitely feeling the jank and getting ready to stop playing it, even though I've got 44 more days of free time.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this earlier, that I think, like, I'm really enjoying the game because I'm kind of looking at the game for what it is rather than what I think it should be or whatever.
What you want from it?
Yeah, what I generally want from an MMO. Like, I, for example, I love to PvP in MMOs, and it doesn't have that, like, whatsoever. But then there's other games like LOTRO or DDO that really don't... I mean, LOTRO has the old... Player versus monster player thing, but I've never really been into that, and it doesn't appeal to me. And it's still like a AAA game to me, you know. But really, just that game is just super deep. Like there's a fair amount of jank in it, and as you were saying earlier, there's literally hardly any hand holding in that game, like just to explain the basic systems and stuff. But I just feel like the more that I play, the more I see how layered it is, and it's got a really hardcore player base that is super helpful and like really into the game and stuff, which makes things really a lot easier to in terms of liking the game.
Yeah, I should try yelling help and seeing if anybody's like, oh, what's going on? What do you not understand? And just be like, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's quite likely. I mean, the chat channel. You can always.
I'm going to go start a new character on Isle of Dawn. You know, the new-ish starting area, and just see if they've improved any of that, and just see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the kind of game that there's so much exploration, and I kind of tend to really like that in MMOs. Yeah. So I feel like,
but just like EverQuest, you know, or those sort of old style MMOs, exploration is dangerous as hell until you've got like a flying mount, and even then, it's like not safe.
Yeah, I mean it's probably not as hardcore as an EverQuest or something like Darkfall, but it definitely has a lot of that.
I don't know, it's pretty anything that has corpse runs is pretty fucking hardcore.
Yeah, it's hardcore. It's more hardcore than most like theme park MMOs, for sure.
Oh, I see. that we're having derogatory terms for, you know, easier MMOs.
I don't think that that's a derogatory term. I mean, I definitely think that there's kind of a spectrum between open world and like theme park MMOs. I mean, I think that Rift, for example, is a great example of an MMO that has a lot of theme park elements to it. Like, I don't think it's something that I think it has a lot of different systems and a lot of different things to do and explore, but I don't think it's like as open as a game like Darkfall or what's that other game? Open world game? I got nothing.
Me neither. I have no idea what you're talking about. I stopped listening like 30 seconds ago.
What did you say?
Fair enough.
But I've also heard about these guilds, like, who just basically create low-level characters in the Isle of Dawn content just to help people out and stuff. That's kind of cool.
They're just trying to lure you away and kill you.
Yes. Yeah. Ultima Online, it is not.
I don't know. Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing.
Cool.
Also been watching a lot of soccer.
Right.
Recently bought the or subscribed to the Fox Soccer channel, the online version, which just astounds me that it's a pretty good service, like no doubt, but it just astounds me that other sports have not capitalized on that kind of model. I mean, that's pretty much the only way that you're going to get soccer in the States is to subscribe either to some huge sports package, or if you have a Dish or something, you can get it.
No.
Otherwise, you have to go online. But, like, you can't get that for the NFL if you wanted to.
You can get some of it, but it's not the same.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous to me.
Well, the NFL's got a lot of TV deals and things like that.
Sure.
You can get MLB.TV for baseball and watch every game that you ever wanted, so... yeah, so what have I been playing? Let's see. I finished Bastion. That was good. I played through it like half again before I lost interest.
With a different, like,
it weapon has, set? It has a new game plus, so I've been leveling up weapons and just trying them out. There are definitely some that I'm like, this is pretty cool, and then there's others where I'm like, why would you ever use this? I don't get it.
What do you get with a new game plus?
Basically, you get to keep all of your items and upgrades and stuff, and you just play through the main game again. I suspect there's some different... there's definitely some different voice narration. You know, that game is all about customized voice narration, and like, there's a point right early on in the beginning where the narrator's like, I feel like I've said this before, but...
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah. And there is a choice that you make... towards the end of the game that could be very different. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to go make that choice again, but not interested enough to actually do it probably anytime soon. I also played Trenched. That game's rad.
Nice.
I don't know what more to say about that. It's really pretty cool. Definitely worth whatever it costs, $15 or whatever.
I've heard that it doesn't like... It's not... Like, you don't necessarily want to play it for that long. I heard the replayability is not really all there.
Yeah, I mean, once you're at high level, I mean, it's a game you play with friends. But since I don't have any friends, I just, you know, play by myself, and it works fine. You know, it's fun enough. It would probably be more fun with other players, you know, kind of coordinating and things like that. But I just needed a mech game, and that this satisfies that quite nicely.
Dude, how cool does that new mech game look? What's it called?
Hawker? Yeah. Pretty freaking awesome.
The world has been waiting for a new mech game.
Has it? Has it really?
Mech Warrior 2, man.
That was 15 years ago.
I know. It was awesome.
It was awesome. I don't think anybody's clamoring out. Nobody's clamoring out for a new mech game or a new space sim or some other genre.
Believe me, there are people out there.
There are people out there, but like 20 of them.
Yes.
So, anyway, so I've been playing those. I've been playing more Team Fortress 2. I feel like I've been playing something else. Oh, I've been playing Card Combat on the iPad, which is... I thought that Richard Garfield, the creator of Magic, was involved in this other iPad game. Turns out he's involved in this one.
Oh.
And Yeah. And this one is, it's okay. I don't find it too terribly stimulating. I mean, it's fun and it's got some interesting stuff in it, but it really comes down to the same kind of stuff that you're always seeing. I really kind of like, for a brief period there in the late 90s, games were iterating beyond the traditional Magic framework and sort of making the games more detailed, a little bit more granular. There was more information on the cards, and it got more complicated, and there was more interesting mechanics. And they've sort of pulled away from that now. So, you know, the two examples that I played were the Star Wars collectible card game and the Dune collectible card game, both of which had super detailed, super crazy hard to get instruction sets. And you just don't find that sort of thing anymore. And this game and the other one, Ascension, that I was playing before, both suffer from the same problem where it's like sort of once you get it, you get it. Mm. And there isn't enough variability. That, you know, they don't have weekly card, new cards or anything like that. So it's you lose a lot of the real appeal of those games for me. I feel like I was playing something else. I mean, I played some Vanguard. It's just sort of janky for me still. I need to play more Lotro. As I told you, all playing Vanguard makes me want to do is play more Lotro, which I should do. I bought the Quake Compact, but I haven't really played any of those games.
Oh, right. You know, I need to play Lotro 2.
Lotro 2 is out? Fuck.
Lotro again.
Oh, dude. Lotro 2.
Well, I mean, I guess
At this point, it basically is. Yeah, right? It's like Lotro 3. I mean, they've added so much to that game.
Seriously.
Need to play more Lotro.
Yeah, because the expansion's coming out, like you said.
Yeah, late September, so. That 25% XP boost under level 50 isn't going to...
Under level 65.
Sweet.
That's the level cap right now. It's going up to 75?
70, I think. I think they're on the 5. I mean, no, who cares? I'm never going to hit it. I still haven't hit the previous level cap. It's so hard to get back into an MMO with a character you had been playing. Because there's so many damn buttons, you know, and this is ironic given I was just saying, oh, I really like more complexity in my collectible card games, but oh no, when there's complexity in MMO, it's too much for me.
When you were talking about that, I was just thinking about Magic itself.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Magic is so awesome, and like, whenever I go back to my old cards, like, I feel really good about them, like, I feel like it takes me some time to really kind of learn how the mechanics worked again and stuff like that, but I look at the new stuff... Like, I follow, you know, the official Magic Twitter feed, and I look at some of the new cards, and I'm like, I have no idea what this says. Like, yeah. I don't even know what this system means, like, yeah. What they're referring to.
So. Well, but that's just endemic to the way Magic works, you know. Constantly rolling out new mechanics.
Sure, but it's the same with Lotro. Like, even if there weren't this sort of, like, you have to overcome a certain amount of learning curve when you get back into an MMO, they've added so many different things that you're like...
But they don't add new systems in Lotro, really.
They do, though. They added the whole legendary item system post-launch.
Well, yeah, that's true. But we knew about that. We were playing Moria day of release, so we got onto that as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but it's not like you come back to Lotro and they're like, oh yeah, and we've refunded, you know, everything you've ever spent on your character because we've totally changed it. You know, or, you know, all of this crazy ass shit where it's like...
I think they've done that.
Well, maybe they've done it too.
I mean, they've definitely done that, and they've definitely, like, they added skirmishes, for example. I understand how skirmishes work.
Yeah,
I just
see.
But every time I put Lotro, you know, down for a couple weeks, a couple months, and then go back to it, I have all of these different faction-based rewards that I have no idea, like, who do they go to, like, where do I turn them in, and, like...
Yeah, that's one thing they need to simplify the reputation rewards thing, because it's like, yeah, I've got fucking robes of Dunedin and, you know, all this shit, and it's like, and then I'm like, do I care about this? What do I get for reputation? I don't know, but I'm grinding it anyway. Fuck. the last time I played Lotro, I fucking spent like a month, not a month, but like a week grinding rep for this, for like an Evendim faction. I don't care. it's like a level 30 faction. Nothing they could give me is worth this. But
to be honest, you don't care though. You love grinding.
I love grinding everything in that game. I would fucking grind my teeth down if it was like sweet. All right. That game just knows how to It finds my G-spot really
easily. It tickles... Wow. I was going to say something, and it wasn't even... wasn't even going to go there.
Yeah, so I know. I went there before you could even think of it.
You preemptively took it to a place it didn't need to go to.
Yep. That's what I do.
But something else I was thinking about Lotro. I think there's cross-character outfits now, or something like that.
Cross-character?
Yeah, like you can... You can
give all of your characters the same outfit?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense unless you wanted all your characters to look like the Ku Klux Klan.
I don't think that's what they're implying.
But I mean...
Are you saying the writers of Rohan are racist?
Well, everything's racial in a Tolkien-esque fantasy world, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't done a major update for a while, so
yeah.
The next one will be the release of the mini expansion. So
yeah, and they're in beta for that now. So
yeah, aside from that, stop playing Tiny Tower. We talked about that because that game is stupid. And
fair enough. Did you play? Have you played any Assassin's Creed?
No. I've thought about it, but I've not. I was too busy playing Vanguard. I think that's pretty much it.
You should totally start a new character on the Isle of Dawn, but also just start a new character outside of the whatever area you're in, because that area just sounds completely, like, I don't know.
Borked?
Not borked, but maybe for people who have, like, arcane knowledge of the minutiae of how the game works.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll try Isle of Dawn, see if that experience is any smoother. I don't think so.
Anything else?
No, really not.
Played a bunch of Soul Calibur today.
Yes, we did.
In Mortal Kombat.
Yes, I got my ass kicked in Mortal Kombat, and mostly we were equal in Soul Calibur, because that game doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
If you understand how to play Soul Calibur 4, please write in. Just write in.
If you understand how to play Soul Calibur 4, you're listening to the wrong podcast, because we're not hardcore enough for you. But don't go away. Please listen.
Yeah.
Played Soul Calibur 4, played Mortal Kombat, and we're going to go play some Left 4 Dead once we're done doing this.
So, yeah.
So we should finish doing this.
It's true.
What's next?
Topic of the week.
What were we going to talk about?
Yes, I agree with your question.
We tossed around several ideas. What did we settle on?
3DS.
Oh, yeah. The 3DS. Yeah, that's what started the conversation that began the podcast of we're just going to repeat ourselves.
Yes, yeah. That's every podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast. Oh, yeah, by the way, have a COD one on us.
Ugh.
That's our that's our new slogan. I need to put that on the...
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Then everyone who searches for have a cold one on us and misspells cold will come to our blog.
I'd say that's pretty likely.
Yeah. And then they'll go, what the fuck is this?
I'm telling you...
And then they'll report us to Google as a spam site.
Oh, I'm telling you, sometimes some of the spam aggregate site lump our site in together with other Call of Duty things.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
It makes sense, yeah.
3DS.
If you're a bro who likes to play Call of Duty listening to our podcast...
And you're talking to me about using derogatory terms towards people.
Yeah. Bro's not derogatory. Bros self-identify as bros. Don't you?
Theme park bros.
Yeah. If you're a theme park bro, please write to... the 3DS check-in. As I believe we predicted, the 3DS sucks.
Yes. That's,
Okay, good. we predicted a price drop, although not as severe or as soon, and we were unclear on the appeal, even in the face of multiple games people saying, oh my god, this is amazing. Turns out games people are too close to it and look at the...
Yeah, games people, I mean, I'm talking about gaming media, gaming press or whatever, like...
Right, games people.
They're having the same issues as we're having with it, except we kind of felt that way when it first came out. But like, yeah, maybe the hype around it was so much or whatever, but People were super crazy about it at E3 last year.
Absolutely. People were just like, you know, people went from being super skeptical about it to once they saw it in action, like, this is revolutionary. And while that may be true, that does not supersede the fact that it was too expensive and no, there was no clear market for it. You know, beta was a superior format to VHS, but guess what? VHS won.
Yeah, you don't have what it takes to sell it. I mean,
well, yeah, just the market didn't want it.
So. I don't, but what I don't understand, so the 3DS, I mean, Nintendo's come out, issued an apology. Satoru Iwata basically said that he's going to take a huge, like, he's going to half his salary, basically, and all these things.
Yeah, from, like, $300,000 to $150,000.
That's quite a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's a ton of money, but I mean, for...
No, I mean, yes, it's a ton of money, but if he were an American CEO, you know how much he'd be making?
Oh, millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that he was only... Maybe that's why the 3DS is such a... He has no motivation to succeed. That's not true, I don't believe that at all. CEO pay is ridiculous, but anyway. Yeah, and you know, whatever, what's the big shareholder of Nintendo, the former chairman?
Right.
The guy who lost, like, $600 million because of the Nintendo, yeah.
I mean, it's...
He's the guy who's really feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I kind of... I don't want to say, like, I feel bad for Nintendo, because obviously they're doing fine with the Wii... I mean, with the original Wii sales, but, like, now the Wii is declining and stuff like that. I used to sort of feel kind of, not, like, mad or something, but kind of upset at Nintendo, because I'm like, I used to be a completely... Nintendo fanboy when I was a kid. You know, I had an NES, Super NES. That was always my first system to get, was the Nintendo system. And GameCube was a good system, but I didn't get a Wii, you know, for reasons that are all too clear that we've talked about on the podcast, or just didn't have any games. It's basically doesn't have the right hardware.
It's a baby console.
It's, well, send your hate mail. But... I mean, now I just feel like I'm not really sure that Nintendo knows what it's doing. It's obviously made a ton of sales with the Wii, and so you can't really say, you know, they don't know what they're doing with that. But Nintendo Wii sales are way down. The Wii U does not look like they know what they're doing with it. The 3DS, obviously, they've marketed it. They released it at the wrong time, or they didn't have the software to go with it at the time of launch. The tech itself seems to be kind of meh. The 3D has proven to be somewhat of a gimmick. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen it. I've never seen it in action. It could be fabulous, but it's not. 3D is not enough of a selling point for me, or clearly for most people, to go out and buy something like this.
No, I mean,
even glass is free. I mean, if I were a TV manufacturer looking for 3D to be the next thing that sells your TV, you know, the fact that, hey, you know, our TVs require glasses to work to get 3D. Nintendo did it without glasses, and they still couldn't sell it. That would fucking terrify me if I was a TV maker.
Yeah, it's not a great recommendation for 3D production.
Yeah.
And, I mean, beyond that, like, simple things like form factor. I mean, the system looks so much like just a clamshell DSi. I'm not sure how many people... I'm sure people know... you know, if they go into a store, they see the difference between a 3DS and a DSi, but they don't, like, the general average consumer probably doesn't know enough to know that this is this whole new system with this new capabilities and software. Like, I'm not sure that they marketed it in the right way or even produced it in the right way.
I'm sure they didn't. Yeah, it's just a debacle all around. But so they slashed the price, and we'll see what the holiday season brings. I mean, if they can sell it into the holidays and do well enough in the holidays, then it all will be forgiven. You know, but as it is, you know, Sony never recovered from their pricing of the PS3, and Nintendo might be in the same boat.
Well, I don't know. Like, they definitely did this good, like, what I think is like a make good thing with the ambassador program. Offering people who have early adopters of the 3DS to basically get 20 games from Nintendo. But I was
10 of which you won't be able to get any other way.
Yeah, which is fine. But I looked at the games and I'm like, all right, like,
yeah,
great. You know?
The only appeal of something like that to me is that there are 3D, there are Nintendo games that I would like to play for nostalgia's sake that I either never played or whatever. But that's still not enough. I mean, you know, somebody today or yesterday was like, Nintendo needs to make their games for cell phones. And while I'm not sure that's the appropriate thing, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a particularly, you know, useful mindset.
Yeah.
But then obviously, like, and crazily, some stores, I think it was Amazon or Best Buy or something.
A bunch of people started doing it.
Yeah, they just started selling them at the lower price, so you could get a 3DS
and get the Ambassador
and get the and then.
Very canny.
Very, very canny. But I don't know. Even with the price drop and everything, like, just looking at what they have forecasted to come out for the 3DS, like, I'm still not really.
Yeah. No, they just, I mean, it's not.
Star Fox, I think.
Star Fox, you know, Kid Icarus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Metal Gear some point.
Who cares?
Kingdom Hearts some point.
Who cares?
I mean, none of that is really a system seller for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a stinker. It smells like a stinker. It's going to be a stinker. Hopefully they will learn. They won't, because they're Nintendo and they don't do that. But, you know, they will see that they have to have a strong launch lineup. If the Wii U does not have 6 top quality games ready to go at system launch, they might as well just not even put it out. It's just ridiculous. And this has been true, you know. Even so far as, you know, 6 months ago, before the 3DS came out, you know, people were saying, you know, Nintendo has proven that you don't have to have strong software to launch a console. It just turns out you really don't need that. I think it's turning out you do.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have some reason for people to buy the system other than, ooh, it's a new system.
Sure, and the Wii is a very different system than the 3DS.
Yeah. I mean, it could be different for the Xbox 720 or whatever and the PlayStation 4, as long as they're backwards compatible. If it's just an upgrade, you know, if you can still play all your old games and it's an upgrade to your hardware, people will do that all day. But the 3DS doesn't do that shit.
Right.
And so it's not quite the same analog.
Right, totally. And the pricing matters too. I mean,
yeah, especially in this economy.
Completely. I mean, that's the thing I was thinking about the Wii U. I mean, I think a lot of people might have picked up the Wii because it was affordable, especially compared to the other systems.
Yeah.
But if who knows what Nintendo's going to do with the Wii U? But if they're trying to do
Nintendo,
no, definitely. But if they're trying to do what they seem like they're trying to do with the whole tablet and everything, that can't be a cheap system.
No.
They super can't afford to do that if they don't have a launch lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be a debacle again.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, especially next year. I mean, they need 2 years. They just can't, you know, it's clear from the show floor. They had no fucking idea what they were doing with that system.
No clue.
Bummer. Yeah, but I mean, you know, this goes back to the same conversation we've had before, I think, even on the podcast, is, you know, the portable gaming doesn't mean dedicated platforms anymore. You know, it's your phone. That's portable gaming. And while the experience, you can get a different and better experience with a dedicated platform, the market for that is way smaller now. You know, it's like the number of people who will buy an arcade machine for their house because they want to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people are fine with a game on their phone.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you're right. You know, but then they sort of, people pulled Sony for comment about if they want to lower the price of the Vita with this news, and they were pretty confident that I mean, I think for the Vita, $249 is probably a pretty good price tag.
Everyone was super surprised at that. I mean, Sony is already losing money on that,
yeah,
price. So, you know, the Sony's willing to take that in order to no longer be the people who stupidly priced the PlayStation at $600.
Yeah.
They need to get rid of that stigma. And so they're doing this, and that's fine. I still think it's awfully expensive, and there's no reason I see to get it for me, but, you know, there will be people who will be, you know, enticed by that. So.
Sure. I mean, I totally want to get one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and it's cheaper than a PSP was at launch, so.
Yeah.
I think. But PSP was $299.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, this is the thing. It's Sony has made a series of costly errors in pricing.
Yeah, so. But it seems like they're learning from them, so, I mean.
Yeah, very slowly, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
I also want to say about the PSP, no, the Vita, no.
Wii U.
Oh, Wii U, Wii U, Wii U. I wonder if we'll see anything from Nintendo at TGS.
They typically don't show at TGS, so, you know, they do their own thing.
Do you think we'll have to wait till E3 next year to see anything about the Wii U?
No. Actually, yeah, probably. Given how little they had to show at the last E3. They have nothing.
Yeah.
They gain nothing by showing anything more that's incomplete.
Yep.
They need to have a at the very least, they need to have a stellar, stellar, stellar Zelda to show at next E3.
Totally.
If they can't do that, the system is dead.
Yeah. Considering how long between development cycles for Zelda games, I don't think that's likely.
I don't either.
I mean, because Skyward Sword. That's supposedly coming out this year. I mean, the best I could think is they were going to make a port for Skyward Sword for Wii.
Yeah, split this. But yeah, but that, you know, no.
No.
They suck.
So.
If you own Nintendo stock, sell it. Those guys are fucked.
If you work for Nintendo, make it good.
Yeah, nobody wants Nintendo to succeed more than we do. We grew up on Nintendo games. We really like Nintendo games. We want them to be good.
And to be fair, there are several Wii games that are and even some not so much 3DS games, but DS games that like I'm interested in. Like I'd love to play Kirby, the new Kirby. I'd love to play Twilight Princess, although I hear it's kind of more the same, you know. People love the Super Mario Galaxy games, but none of those are like, there's not enough software to convince me to buy the system. Like, when I was considering buying a PSP or a DS, I tried both systems out, and the PSP just won out because of the type of games that it has on it.
Yeah.
And I know people in general kind of don't like the PSP as much as other systems anyway, and the DSi is way more popular, but for me it's like, come on, Nintendo, give me some games and I'll buy your system. Like,
yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, I think third party developers are kind of the same. It's like, give us a system to work with and give us some a reason to work with.
Yeah, historically, third party games have not sold well on Nintendo consoles, so.
No, but I mean, there've been, you know, for lack of a better term, second party, you know, games like Rare games that have always sold well on Nintendo systems.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But Rare doesn't develop for Nintendo anymore.
Not anymore. But.
They need to figure out what they're doing real fast and work it and make it real good. And I'm just not sure. They waited too long. They rode the Wii wave for too long.
Mm-hmm.
They should have released their new console this year.
That's a great point.
Because with the new PlayStation and Xbox is coming next year, you know, at least in terms of announce, they can't live on, you know, they probably got sandbagged by that. You know, they probably figured they were 2 years away from an announce of next generation. And so they would be able to ride the wave of, hey, look, we've got equivalent graphics, and this will look old when the next generation of consoles comes out, just like the Wii got that bump, because it was the new thing, even though the, you know, 360 and the PlayStation, you know, PlayStation 2 and the original 360 were, you know, rocking along. But they're not going to have that this time, and it's
going to come. I mean, regardless of new systems, like, the Wii sales have been down for the past, 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah.
I think because everyone who wants a Wii has bought one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, we're still a year out at least from the Wii U is definitely, you know, something for the
people. Yeah, and the people who bought the Wii are not upgraders. You know, they bought the Wii U to play Wii Sports, clearly. And that's all they did with it. And that just seeing the Wii U isn't gonna make them I'm gonna upgrade that. They're not
right.
They're not upgrade people.
Right.
And so these are the kind of people who have a TV for 10 years. And it's like, you know, what's this 1080p you speak of?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo, they did great. You know, they got real lucky. And now they just need to try and survive.
Yeah, and I really hope that they turn it around. Because, I mean, like we've been saying, I love them as a company. I love their franchises, you know.
And to be clear, I mean, not knowing exactly what Nintendo's financials are, you know, we're being a little hyperbolic where it's like turn around or survive or any of that stuff. Nintendo will continue to be around. They will continue to be a player. But they, you know, they're never going to be the market leader again. I just don't see that happening because they got super lucky last time. And so they'll just continue, just like they were from 99 to 2006. You know, they will be in distant third place and just sort of like, you know, we make kiddie games, you know. Although even then they won't have the DS to you know, push them up. So who knows, maybe they'll go back to making pinball machines.
We'll see. We'll definitely see.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's been the STR Gamer Podcast, episode 14.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm @Sominator.
I'm at Brian WP.
You can send us an email at
strgamercodcast@gmail.com and go to the website at strgamer.blogspot.com. Theme Park Bros.
Is it GoDaddy?
GoDaddy.com.
No, what was that commercial that you were just singing?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Send us whatever that
commercial was. Send us an email or send us a tweet about what commercial that was from.
That's going to drive me nuts. Rate us on iTunes.
Ah, yes, rate us on iTunes.
And
50 imaginary theme park bro bucks to whoever rates us first.
Nice, bring it back to the bro bucks.
Yeah, yeah. And with that, we're going to sign off very slowly as I reach over to not
see you next time.